This is DW News live from Berlin. The US rejects calls for immediate sanctions on Russia. Ukrainian soldiers patrol their border as more than 100,000 Russian troops gather on the other side. But the US Secretary of State says diplomacy needs to be given a chance first to discourage Russia from invading. Also coming up, a curfew is imposed in Burkina Faso after people barricade the streets with burning tires in support of soldiers staging a mutiny. And Bayern Munich defend their lead at the top of the Bundesliga with a routine victory over long-time underperformers Hertha Berlin. I'm Rahila Mohammed. Welcome to the program. Military aid is arriving in Kiev from the United States, Poland, Britain and others as Ukraine faces the threat of a possible new invasion by Russia. Calls are growing for economic sanctions on Moscow as it builds up its forces along the border. But Washington says diplomacy needs to be given a chance first.
It's been dubbed the new Cold War, with relations between Russia and the West as biting as the weather on Ukraine's eastern borders. The British Foreign Office has publicly accused President Putin of planning to install this pro-Russian politician as the new Ukrainian leader. Yevhen Muraev, a fierce critic of Kiev's pivot to the West, has denied the claims. And the Russian Foreign Ministry branded the assertion fake news. The US and the UK are sending military aid to Ukraine, with Baltic nations set to follow. Germany's hands-off approach is attracting criticism, but the US Secretary of State denied the divisions.
I've been on the phone and saw my own German counterpart, Foreign Minister Baerbock, and I can tell you that the Germans very much share our concerns and are resolute in being determined to respond, and to respond swiftly, effectively, and in a united way.
Up to 100,000 Russian troops have amassed at Ukraine's borders over recent months, with Moscow demanding that Ukraine will never be allowed to join NATO. Putin has also denied he is planning to attack, but those living on Ukraine's frontier with Russia are far from reassured.
Like on the edge of something very terrible and scaring. So, yes, I can say that kind of scared.
For now, daily life continues. But as the political temperatures plummet, people here are all too aware how quickly that could all change.
Well, let's bring in Michael Kimmage. He's a history professor at the Catholic University of America and a former State Department Russia-Ukraine expert under President Obama. Well, it's great to have you with us here on DW News. What's your assessment of the situation? Is there a real threat that Russia could invade Ukraine?
Oh, certainly. I think that the capacity is there. In a sense, the motive is there. For Russia, what you could say that Russia is looking for at the moment is the pretext. And the question now seems to be more one of timing than of whether or not this is going to happen.
And now that we've seen the U.S. and other countries sending in more military aid to Ukraine, how much of a deterrence would this be for Russia?
I think quite modest. I think if we were to speak of true deterrence, we would speak of air power and a Western commitment of troops. And there's not a single government from Washington to London, to Berlin, to Brussels that's willing to do that. So it's important symbolically as support for the Ukrainian people and the government, but it's probably not much of a military factor.
Now, when it comes to Germany's position, the country is being accused by Ukraine's government of not showing enough support compared to its other NATO allies. Would you say there's any truth in that?
I don't. I think that, you know, looking back historically, back to 2014, when this crisis began, Germany was a crucial part of the sanctions regime. And I think in the coming conflict, Germany will be a crucial part of the sanctions regime. It's been German policy for a long time, going back to Chancellor Merkel, not to be involved militarily. So, you know, I think that that's really Germany's sovereign choice, and it doesn't indicate German indifference or lack of engagement.
Well, the current sense at the moment is that diplomacy is not dead yet. So what are your projections for the upcoming talks we're going to be seeing this week?
I think the chance for diplomatic success, and it's good to keep hammering away at it, but it's vanishingly small. And it looks like the Russian demands are way out of line from the West perspective. And one imagines when the response is given from the West that it will not yield, that Russia is going to sort of move to a different phase of the conflict.
Michael Kimmage, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Burkina Faso's government has imposed a curfew on the capital, Ouagadougou. That's after soldiers staged a mutiny, demanding more support for their fight against armed groups. They also called for military leaders to step down. Hundreds of protesters gathered to show their support for the soldiers. Some set fire to the ruling party's headquarters, and the location of the current president is currently unknown.
The ominous sound of tear gas fired on protesters by security forces. On Saturday, a crowd gathered in Burkina Faso's capital, Ouagadougou, dissatisfied with the government and President Roch Kabore's inability to control a jihadist insurgency that's troubled the country for 7 years.
Il faut que Roch parte.
Roch must go. We all agree on that. We believe that the government is catastrophic.
Nous estimons que la gouvernance est catastrophique.
Catastrophic in all ways, especially when it comes to security. The next day, further signs of unrest, this time from the army. Heavy gunfire coming from several barracks in the capital, plus disrupted internet connections, prompted fears of a coup. The defense minister was quick to get on the air to deny the government had lost control. The government has confidence in the army, which remains committed to the Republic. We ask the people to remain calm, to carry out their duties. We are following the developing situation so we can provide information on the real reasons for these shootings. So I can tell you that, for the moment, everything is under control, and we ask our army to continue to support our Republic and carry out its missions to protect its territory and its people.
De protection au territoire et des populations.
But his words did little to calm the protesters who rampaged and set fire to the ruling party's headquarters. More demonstrations sprang up across the capital in support of the mutinying soldiers, fed up at the lack of support in fighting the Islamists. The soldiers demanded more resources and that the military top brass be sacked. All of this just a week after 12 people were arrested on suspicion of planning to destabilize institutions in the country.
Well, earlier we spoke to journalist Henry Wilkins, who is in Ouagadougou, and we asked him what the people's support for the army means.
Yeah, I don't think what we're seeing at the moment is a full-scale coup. This morning, when I woke up, Reuters had already reported that there had been gunfire since about 5 a.m. at Ouagadougou, the capital's largest military base. I was down there around about 7:30 this morning. The military from that base have taken over the entire base. They, in fact, detained me for approximately half an hour after I was trying to take pictures and gave me a list of demands that it will relinquish control of the base back to the government. Whilst I was in detention, the Minister of Defence was on national television saying that the situation was under control, but obviously the situation was not under control as the mutiny was still ongoing at the base.
Well, here's a look at some other stories making headlines around the world. Armenia's president Armin Sarkisian has resigned, citing his inability to influence domestic and foreign policy. Armenia is facing a political crisis since clashes broke out with neighboring Azerbaijan in 2020 in the disputed region of Nagorno-Karabakh. A fire at a nightclub in Cameroon's capital has killed at least 17 people. Authorities say the blaze spread to an area where cooking gas was being stored, causing loud explosions. It comes as Cameroon hosts the Africa Cup of Nations football tournament. Belgian police fired tear gas and used water cannons to disperse crowds protesting against COVID-19 measures. Tens of thousands of people took to the streets of Brussels after the government announced that people will need booster shots to gain access to bars, cinemas and some other indoor venues. Portugal's Prime Minister António Costa has cast his vote in the snap general election. Polls show his incumbent Socialist Party still ahead of its centre-right rivals. Due to the pandemic, there is an early voting option to reduce crowds next Sunday, the planned election day, that is. Now, more than 300,000 voters are expected to cast their ballot today. Now in the Bundesliga on Sunday, Bayern Munich beat Hertha Berlin 4-1, putting their 6-point lead at the top of the table ahead of Borussia Dortmund. With their victory in Berlin, Bayern remain firmly in control of the title race.
Bayern Munich visited the blue side of the capital for their clash against struggling Hertha Berlin. The reigning champions had beaten Hertha in 6 of their last 7 meetings. Bayern laid on the pressure and struck first through Corentin Tolisso. Kingsley Coman's cross found his fellow Frenchman, who beat his defender to the ball and finished with a strong header. At the 45th minute mark, Thomas Müller got himself on the score sheet, doubling Bayern's lead. Joshua Kimmich delivered a well-placed free kick, which Müller flicked into the net for his 7th goal of the season. That made it 2-0 for Bayern going into halftime, much to Hertha's dismay. The second half saw more goals as Leroy Sané pounced on a sloppy ball played out by Hertha's goalkeeper, Alexander Schwolo. Easy pickings for the Bayern forward, who was quick to slot the ball into the open goal. Serge Gnabry finished off a lovely through ball to make it 4 for Bayern, further adding insult to injury. An error from substitute Dayo Upamecano saw Bayern's clean sheet go up in smoke. But Jürgen Eklenkamp's goal was a mere consolation. 4-1 the final score as Bayern extend their lead at the top of the Bundesliga table back to 6 points.
And RB Leipzig have extended their run in the Bundesliga with a 2-0 victory over Wolfsburg, whose season continues to go from bad to worse. It took until the second half for the home side to put themselves in front, thanks to Hungarian midfielder Viktor Orban, who headed into this rebound to snatch the lead. Soon afterwards, Josko Gyarvadal lobbed a helpless Cohen Castiles to make it 2. Wolfsburg, who finished 4th last season, are now in 14th with pressure mounting on coach Florian Kohfeldt. Now, the 10,000 sports fans attending an indoor hockey game in the US last night knew the forecast: a downpour. And after the first goal scored by the home team, the Hershey Bears, the rain then began. Teddy bears by the thousands, tens of thousands of them. The Teddy Bears Toss is a kids' charity event held every year by the second-tier club in the state of Pennsylvania. And the players seem to like it too. The final numbers aren't in yet, but organizers were confident they would surpass the last Teddy total of nearly 45,000 bears for children in need. Well, here's a reminder of our top story. Ukraine faces the threat of a possible new invasion by Russia as troops mass along its border. But U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has rejected immediate sanctions, saying diplomacy needs to be given another chance. You're watching DW News live from Berlin. Up next is World Stories. A reminder, you can also find much more news, analysis and video on our website. That is dw.com. I'm Rahila Mohammed. Thanks for watching. See you soon. Bye-bye.